This holiday, wrap affection with a gift that everyone loves, gift cards. Giftcards.com makes it easy to make the thought and the gift count with over 350 brands to choose from. Gift from top brands like Sephora, Nordstrom, DoorDash, and more. New this year is the Giftcards.com gift card, which gives your giftee access to choose from almost anything at Giftcards.com with no purchase fees, no expiration, and instant delivery. It's the gift of so many possibilities. Visit giftcards.com today. See giftcards.com for terms and conditions.
Weekend Breakfast
with Alison Curtis.
Playing the music you love.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Today FM. Rick Astley, thank you so much for joining us. And Never is your memoir. And you have had like truly such a fascinating life. And when the moment that you decided to write it all down, do you remember when you're like, I think I'll do this? And did you find it therapeutic?
I do find it therapeutic. I've found interviews sometimes therapeutic, you know, because things come up in them that you don't necessarily talk about in your everyday normal life until it's, you know, unless it's a best friend or a family member and stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think sometimes you come out of an interview even and you just think differently about what you've just said sometimes. But obviously doing a book is very, very in-depth. And for me, timing-wise, my mum and dad passed away over the last few years. I've got two older brothers and an older sister. I talked it through with them quite a lot first. And my wife and our daughter, and said, look, I want to be as honest as I can because I feel it's important. You know, the reason I got into music is I love music. Yes, of course I love music. That goes without saying. But I think there's reasons people end up on a stage. I think they're looking for something. I think people are... I was definitely looking for... almost like a bit of a hole that was left from my childhood to be filled, you know? And I don't mean that to get heavy and intense, but I think there is some truth to it, you know? There's a lot of people, as we've seen very recently as well, and we don't need to get into that, obviously, but there's a lot of people, you know, come to tragic ends even doing this thing, you know? So it's kind of... So I just wanted to be really honest about the way I was brought up and stuff and some of the things that happened over the years. I had an amazing time. I wouldn't swap it with anybody, by the way, because I'm very, very happy.
I know. You seem so, that's the thing. You seem so, you know, even when you were going through times that, you know, weren't happy, you always seemed so measured, so happy, so warm and like generous with your own time as well. And I know you just touched on it, but, you know, you saw it as an escape. But I also think that, you know, a lot of people, when they embark on it and they have a talent that they can, you know, monetize, it is solely so much for fame. But for you, you've written that it wasn't actually for that so much as it was going, I would like financial security to escape, you know, familiar circumstances.
Yeah, I'm not embarrassed to talk about the money side of pop music or whatever it is that people get into creatively that should be purely for the art of it. And listen, I never go in my little studio at home, or I never walk on stage and go, right, where's the bag of money? I just don't do that.
No.
But I think early on as a kid, my childhood was so kind of like all over the place. My dad was a very unusual man. And at one point, he always had a little business. At one point, he started a business, which basically was a field that he was going to build a garden center. And the first thing he did, he bought a porter cabin. I was 14 at this point, and I had two older brothers. My sister had left home by that time and was starting to make her own life for herself. And my two brothers and myself and my dad went to live in a porter cabin, like a military barracks with four beds in a row.
Oh, God.
And I was 14. And it was like, it was just odd, really odd. And he had an unbelievable dark mood about him at times. He was also super light and gorgeous. Like he was always singing Frank Sinatra, which is why I do it these days. It's sort of, it's not just homage to Frank Sinatra, it's homage to my dad, really. And he loved us. My mum loved us. They were a bit broken. They had a child that had passed away through meningitis before I was born.
Yeah.
And I think
you don't recover from that.
I don't think anybody does. I think you deal with it in whatever way you possibly can. But I think, anyway, so they divorced when I was about four. And I grew up in my dad's house, and I saw my mum a lot, but I grew up in my dad's house, and boy, did he have moods.
But Rick, even that's unusual, isn't it? Like, that's unusual
It was very unusual, but I think my mum, and again, this is why I wanted to wait until they'd passed through, because I don't want my mum reading the way I felt about it. I wanted her to live out her life thinking that, you know, it was as good as it could be. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like I don't want to moan about it. For me, the connection of all this is that why I ended up being a singer and why I ended up going on a stage. I love music, but I like playing it just as much in a pub as I do in an arena.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go to that arena level. You don't have to chase that around the world and try and chase a number one record and try and have another one.
But Rick,
one
when that
things.
Did happen for you, you were still so young. You were 21 and Never Gonna Give You Up. And I was just saying, that song is actually going to be in my brain until the next 48 hours.
I'm sorry.
No, it's a good one. But like, nothing can fully prepare you for something like that. And I mean, it was a different time, pre-social media and stuff like that. But it's still such a whole foray and nothing prepares you.
No, it doesn't. And I think also, you know, we definitely had the kind of tabloid press thing was kind of bigger back then, if you know what I mean. Now we've got social media, so it's online, and obviously there's some horrible things written about people and also some great stuff. I laugh at social media every single day of my life, you know what I mean? In my group of friends and with our daughter, she sent me something this morning, which I don't quite understand. I'm going to get to the bottom of it later. And I kind of love it, you know what I mean? It's kind of, I do get it, and it's... It is amazing.
Does she make you do TikToks?
She's 32, so she's a bit bewildered by TikTok as well, to be honest.
Mine makes me do them all the time, and I'm bad at them.
it's a weird world. It's a strange world, but it always has been, and that's kind of what I mean about the press back in the day. It was a bit more, it was a bit spikier, I think. At
it was
times.
Vicious.
Especially if you'd had like pop records like me. It wasn't like I was in a credible band or anything like that. When you were in the music press all the time, I was very much tabloid fodder because that's what it was, you know. And I kind of think sometimes, at least with social media, I get a chance to just say something unedited, unscripted, on what have you, and just say it the way I feel it. And that's very much like the book. I kind of feel that I've done so many interviews in my life. And like I said to you at the very beginning, sometimes that even is a bit of therapy. You think about what you said afterwards and think, wow, okay, that's interesting, because I got asked a question and my immediate answer was that. And it's like, wow, okay, maybe that wouldn't have been the same 10 years ago, whatever.
Yeah.
But in a book, I think you get a chance to say, that's the way I felt it and saw it.
The thing is, Rick, as well, so like obviously 21 when that happened, and then you made a decision that a lot of people probably can't fathom when you are at that level of fame, is that you decided to retire yourself and go, all right. And even at 27, to have that kind of maturity to kind of go, this is something I need to do for me.
Yeah, I think to be honest, I wasn't at the peak of my powers by any stretch of the imagination. I was in that boat where you're thinking we're either going to, you know, sink or we're going to carry on. And I just looked at it, and I looked at the music business. We'd had a daughter by then who was 2 years old, and I'm getting on planes every day to go and do something I'm not sure I really wanted to do anymore. And I developed this fear of flying because I think that was just, I did a lot of therapy at the end of my 20s and early 30s, and I still don't love flying now, you know, but I kind of feel that it was like, I don't actually want to go where I'm going. It's not the getting there.
You're not comfortable.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I talked it over, obviously, with my wife and all the rest of it. And I just kind of felt I just didn't want to be doing this anymore. And I was super lucky. Like we said before, I craved a bit of attention, or a lot of attention. And I craved that, you know, through music and being famous, blah, blah. Because I was trying to fill a hole that was, I think, left a little bit by my childhood. But also, I wanted security. My dad was so unusual.
And you just wanted normality.
Like, we never knew where we stood. We never knew where we stood with him. So it was kind of like, I think it's the most boring thing in the world to say you got into pop or rock and roll for security. That's the most boring thing in the world.
But I get it.
That, yeah, when that first check arrives, you know, after having a record like Never Gonna Give You Up and that album and everything, you go, I'm saved. I am saved.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding. It's almost like, it's almost better than winning the lottery, because the lottery is not even something that you even put any effort into. Do you know what I mean? You just buy a ticket, whatever. And I kind of think, this is amazing. This thing that I've been kind of chasing, you know, since I was a teenager and being in bands and playing and all the rest of it, and doing pubs and clubs and all that boring nonsense. It's kind of like, it's actually just
brought me
a whole new life. It's just brought me freedom and a gorgeous life, which is kind of what I've had for,
You can sense that about you, though. You can sense that, absolutely. So I'm going to take, Rick, I'm going to take a quick song, and then we're going to come back, because I've got more to ask you. Sorry, Rick, it's a pre-record, so obviously I'm not taking a song. What I was going to ask you, actually, before the song, Rick Astley, is, so you are now introduced to a whole new generation of people. It's very safe to say you've had, a resurgence, and it was obviously a huge performance in Glastonbury last year. You were in Electric Picnic last year as well, and what's it like for this whole new generation going, I like this guy?
It's kind of strange. I mean, Electric Picnic was a great example. It was a beautiful day, beautiful weekend, the weather was amazing, and we played another stage actually that night called The Salty Dog, which is off in the woods,
fun.
And we just jammed covers that night and just had a laugh and had drank a few too many beers. But the whole weekend was fantastic, and I saw a few bands play as well, which is always great if you actually have a wander around and see something, because sometimes you get to play a festival or a big thing like that, and you kind of, you arrive, you do your thing, and then off you go because you've got to be at another thing.
You had time.
Was amazing. Yeah, we had a great couple of days in Dublin, actually, and we actually walked around the town a bit and, got to kind of sink into it a little bit more, and it was really, really lovely.
But do you like the Irish people? Yeah. Because generally speaking, I'm going to make a sweeping generalization. They kind of let people on with things, and they're not like Uber, like Americans or something. Like, they just kind of go, oh, yeah, they're too cool to some selfies, but we'll generally let you get on with your life.
Yeah, I mean, I think the selfie thing has changed the world a little bit, because we all do it with friends and what have you. You're in front of something, or you walked out of a restaurant, you've had a good night in a pub, what have you. Someone's taking a selfie of somebody. It doesn't have to be famous. You're just doing it. It's like marking the moment kind of thing forever in your phone kind of thing. But it's also, I sort of get it. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I'm, necessarily first in the list for them. But I mean, I kind of think I get it.
Yeah,
it's we've got a friend, actually, funnily enough, an American friend of ours, and like, he just never doesn't take a photo. He's always taking a photo, but when he sends them later, I kind of really love it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because it's like, oh my god, yeah, we did go there. Oh my god, we did end up in that bar for a drink later on.
Yeah,
because I don't mean because of alcohol, but there's too much going on.
You're in the
world.
Moment.
You forget it all. And when you can just sort of flip back and go through a WhatsApp and there's like 24 photographs in it, I quite like it. So I get it. I do kind of get the selfie thing. I really do. It's like memories. That's all it is.
I know. So, I'd say a lot of people will be asking for that yesterday and again today while you're around in Dublin. And Rick, before I let you go as well, you sound so happy. You sound so content. And maybe at a period in your life, like when you were 21, you didn't feel maybe in control of your life because it just exploded so quickly for you. And there so many years following that, but you sound very much like, I mean, I saw an interview of you recently where you were like, oh, I was cleaning out my gutters and I was thinking about other famous people like Ronan Keating. Does he do this? Like, there's,
exactly.
You sound very much like you've got a balance and you're happy.
Yeah, I have. I mean, maybe you need to ask my wife that, actually, but maybe she'll be the true version. But I do have an amazing life in the sense that, we get to do gigs, like you said, we get to play some of the big festivals and, some of our own gigs that are of a size I never dreamt I'd be doing again, if you know what I mean. I never thought I'd get it back to that kind of thing. And it's incredible. But the difference today is I'm kind of sort of half an hour famous.
Yeah.
I'm famous when someone actually clocks me and goes, oh, that's that dude. And I get that, but I'm not famous in the sense of like real fame. That kind of fame sort of left me years and years and years ago.
So
and
you're comfortable.
We've had the Rick Rowling thing, which has been amazing. And it's, it's that song, Never Gonna Give Up, is the song that will not die. You know what I mean?
It just on the Late Late Show on Friday.
Exactly. And it keeps popping up somewhere, one way or another. But I also can chuckle about that and I can laugh about it and go, how weird that
a song
from 87. Yeah. And it's like, it's part of my DNA. I think because when I quit in my late 20s, I was away from doing anything like that for pretty much almost 15 years. I dabbled. I did a little project here, a bit of this, a bit of that. But I didn't have like a full-on thing where I was chasing a big hit and all the rest of it like it was in the 80s.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel, because of that, when I sing those old songs, it's nostalgia for me. It's not just nostalgia for the audience.
It's a lovely place to be in. Well. Yeah, it's a lovely space to occupy. You're just so universally loved, though. I know you're saying that guy not super famous, but you really are. So we really appreciate your time on Weekend Breakfast, Rick Astley. I can't believe I'm talking to you, actually. Having a total fangirl moment. Thanks so much. And take care.
Thank you, my love.
Bye. Bye. Bye-bye.
Weekend Breakfast with Alison Curtis. Playing the music you love.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Today FM.
This holiday, wrap affection with a gift that everyone loves. Gift cards. Giftcards.com makes it easy to make the thought and the gift count with over 350 brands to choose from. Gift from top brands like Sephora, Nordstrom, DoorDash, and more. New this year is the Giftcards.com gift card, which gives your giftee access to choose from almost anything at Giftcards.com. With no purchase fees, no expiration, and instant delivery, it's the gift of so many possibilities. Visit giftcards.com today. See giftcards.com for terms and conditions.